Hi, Diamudra. I am Michelle Pekansky-Brock, and I'm currently with CSU Channel Islands. I am an innovations lead there on our teaching and learning innovations team, and I have a long history also working with the California Community College System.
Great. So tell me what's exciting to you about this online teaching conference this week.
I think the most exciting thing about this week is the fact that it's a gathering focused on exclusively on teaching online, which is really a hard thing to find. And I think the more people you talk to at this conference, you're going to find that they're actually outside the CCC system and maybe even outside of California. And I think that says a lot about this desire to find a community of practice for online teaching. Online teaching in higher education is very marginalized, and professional development for it is even more difficult to find. Mm-hmm. And that's what brings me here. You know, I feel like whatever my role is, I still want to come back here and be part of this because I've learned so much from the folks here, and I feel like I'm part of the community.
Yeah, community seems to be a big theme for you. I know you teach your own online classes, you train teachers, and then you do more macro level stuff in terms of design of on the state level. So how does community sort of thread those three pieces together?
It's a really good question. I think for me, it's all about students. It's all about students. And we need to know this more. We need to have more clarity about data that shows this, and it's tricky to do, but I think that there's a lot that is already built on in the research that is showing it, and we're there. It's time to do this. But we know that relationships are the core of learning. They're the core of learning at whatever level. You know, when we look at formalized learning, whether we're talking about kindergartners or we're talking about folks in grad school, when you at the end of your life, when you look back, it's the people who worked with you, who paused to some way recognize that you matter and that they believe in you. That's what matters. And so I think that, first of all, instilling that idea in faculty is important, but faculty themselves also need to feel supported. Right. They need to feel like they matter. Yeah. And I think that that's true for anyone, any human, but when it comes to online teaching, again, it's been very kind of, it kind of falls through the cracks within institutions.
Yeah.
When we say, oh, let's talk about teaching, online teaching still isn't, there's a hierarchy between face-to-face and online. And so I guess I do feel like building a community of practice for online instructors is really, really important, regardless of where those individuals teach.
Yeah. Another aspect of your work that's really interesting to me is the importance of voice. I wonder if you could talk about, you mentioned that yesterday in the seminar, about voice and how that really facilitates learning and facilitates connection.
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that question. I'm a big advocate about human voice, and because of the way it connects so intimately with presence. You know, you think about learning online, you're physically, from a student perspective, you're physically isolated from your peers and your instructor. And so when you're seeing text on a screen, that's important, but it is not going to resonate the same way as, you know, hearing the voice of your instructor say, hey, is everything okay on that side? You know, what's going on? I noticed, you know, you haven't been so active, and, you know, just kind of that, the nuance, the warmth of the human voice. When we deliver feedback to students, particularly when we're talking about the underserved students,
right,
who are coming from populations that have created a reality for them that, when they do enroll, for those who do enroll, and there's so many who do not come to college because they don't think that they can do it.
Right.
And so our underserved students who are in our online classes, I used this concept, I think, yesterday, and it really works for me, this social-emotional speed bump. And it's our job to really kind of help them over that. And those speed bumps occur in many different ways in a course, but just in the first week or two, you know, when, okay, so say I put a discussion forum out there and, oh, well, this percentage of students didn't reply, and that doesn't mean they don't care. That doesn't mean they don't want to be there. I mean, it could mean that, but let's not jump there. We've got to really unpack that because, I think about you know, I see like someone doing a double jump rope in front of me and them saying, oh, join in. And there's that kind of hesitation.
Yeah.
Well, that hesitation is bigger for people who are students who are from these underserved populations. And it's our job to pull them in to that jump rope.
Yeah.
Invite them in, make sure they feel safe and that sort of thing. Yeah.
I was really struck how you did that yesterday. You just created that container. Did you talk about it as like a glass bowl?
Yeah.
And I wanted to ask you about that. I felt like, you know, there was someone like me who's a real beginner in online learning, even though I'm experienced as a teacher, and then other people who had 20 years experience. And I just felt like you were able to sort of hold the space in a really light way, but still guide the conversation for the whole day. It went by so fast. So I wonder if there's anything you could say about that, about the art that you've crafted for yourself.
Oh, gosh. That was a risk for me yesterday. I've never done that before.
Oh.
I've never done that. And I have to just credit the National Great Teachers Movement. Google it if you've never heard of it. NGTM is the hashtag, but it's been around for more than 40 years. And I mean, it's a certain philosophy to facilitation that isn't unique to great teachers, but that's the culture that I'm kind of growing out of. And I went to a seminar last summer focused on leading great teacher seminars. And not the one thing I took away, but one of the things that I remembered was this constant reiteration of believe in the process. Mm. And so I could feel myself moving out of my comfort zone.
Yeah.
You know, like maybe moments of silence where I just wanted to start talking and say, okay, let's move to the next thing. But I just kept telling myself, believe in the process. And I love the idea of an empty bowl. You're just creating a space. And you connected. You made a really poignant takeaway at the end of the day when you said, wow, I realized that we are your content.
Yeah.
And that's exactly it. You know, and I didn't want to say that, but I was really happy to see that was kind of something that you took away from the day. Yeah.
It was so spacious for us to have enough time to sort of add our expertise, and in that there was so much that we could all kind of keep bouncing off of.
Yeah. And we, you know, when we think about professional development, we think too much about content.
Right.
And don't realize how much of a resource we are to each other.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where the relationships happen. So, you know, why is it that we bring faculty together into a workshop? Well, I think it's because of the interactions.
Yes.
You know, so when you sit there and listen to someone all day, it's like we aren't using that face-to-face time for what is really valuable, particularly in a day like today when you can get content online.
Right.
You know,
that's
so
right.
Yeah, it's really important to value the face-to-face and use the time together in a meaningful way. Yeah.
I worked in a design office, and the lead designer love the idea of the water cooler, that really all the good ideas happen over the water cooler. So the whole office was designed that wherever you went, you had to go by other people's desks so you could see what they were working on. There was just a lot of chatting happening, but so much cross-pollination.
Yeah.
And I was thinking your workshop yesterday, the Great Teachers Seminar, was the water cooler for the day, the whole day.
Yeah, and I use that concept as well. And I think the next step, and maybe not the next step, I mean something that I try to really focus on even more than these face-to-face experiences, because like I said that was a risk for me. Normally I'm doing this stuff online. But Twitter, the community that I experience on Twitter, and that's an area where I'd really like to see faculty recognize, and particularly faculty who are part-time and feel like they really don't have a sense of community with their institution.
Right.
So connecting faculty across institutions digitally, I think, is something that really, there needs to be a more concerted effort to help faculty navigate that and understand how to do it.
Yeah, be really intentional about the purpose of using that medium.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I know you have other people to meet, but is there any final words of wisdom you have for someone who's new to online teaching?
Oh, that's a great question. I always say follow your gut. You know, I think that so often we start with this place of, like, you know, a sense of what's important, and maybe we realize that human relationships are important. When you start teaching online, there's a lot of other things that are also important, you know, like course design is so important, and, you know, being clear with your expectations and all of those sorts of things. But just remember the human. Remember the relationship. Be true to that, and don't try to be perfect. Don't try to be perfect, because it's your imperfection that makes you human, and that's what will resonate the most with your students. Yeah.
Don't try to be perfect. That's good. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That was fun. I hope it came out of...
On a...